Hello, everyone.
Hello.
I said, hello, everyone.
Hello.
I hope everybody's doing well. I hope you've had a good weekend, or people will continue to have a good day today. Welcome, especially if you're visiting with us. Welcome to you. It's great to have you as a guest, and we hope that you will come back. We're a church that simply wants to go by the Bible, and we study the Bible quite a bit, and we attempt to just follow the scriptures and do what the scriptures say. So if that sounds good to you, then you're in the right place, and we are really, really glad to have all of you. I'm happy to be here. It's great to be able to speak to you here in North Jersey, Paramus High School. I've driven by this high school so many times now, but I've never had an opportunity to come in. It's good to be here and to be with all of you. That last song that we sang, I Hear God Singing to Me, it's got a little bit of Swahili in it, and just a little story. I was in Kenya once, and it is Ki Swahili, which they speak in Kenya, and I was on the street, actually, or in a car, and a car drove up next to me, and there were three little boys in the car that looked over at me, and they saw me, and I looked very different than everybody else that was in the cars around them, obviously. And so they started, you know, sort of making signs at me and, you know, doing this kind of stuff. And I could tell that they were having fun with me. And so the only thing I knew to say to them was, Sakia Lugu Akiyimba, I hear God singing to me. And that shocked them quite a bit. And they stopped pointing and they actually stopped looking and they looked out the other window. And had quite an impact on those little children there. But it is great to be able to sing songs to God. And I really appreciate the worship team today. It was great. It was awesome. We're good up for the worship team. And I appreciate you leading us in a great time of worship today, being able to honor God in worship. If you want to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 12, we're going to get over to Mark chapter 12 here in just a second. And I just want to do a Bible study with you today. Look at one passage from the Gospels. I love the Gospels. I love the ministry of Jesus. I love learning from Jesus and allowing Him to teach me all that I can learn from Him. And there's so much to learn in the Gospels. I especially love the Gospel of Mark. It's the shortest of the Gospels. It's very quick and abrupt. It has Jesus going from one place to the next very quickly. But it was a Gospel that really highlights the ministry of Jesus. And I think it was the first Gospel that was written. I think the rest of the Gospels were based on the Gospel of Mark. And so I really appreciate also just the genius of the writer, the genius of Mark, to be able to really invent a whole new genre of literature, the theological biography, and to incorporate the ministry of Jesus in this short 16 chapters, and yet it lives on. It lives on, and we can still learn from it today. And so I'm grateful to Mark and what he gave us in his gospel. And in Mark chapter 12, Jesus highlights the story of a poor widow. And so my lesson today is about spiritual legacy.
Amen.
What is our spiritual legacy? And what will your spiritual legacy be? You know, we're about to close out a year, and we're about to head not just into a new year, but into a new decade. That kind of snuck up on me. I knew that a new year was coming. You know, that we're about to hit 2020, and that's awesome. But then my daughter was helping me one day. We were talking about something, and she mentioned some speaker that she's been listening to, and how every Monday she gives them something new to get ready for the decade. And I'm like, whoa, that's awesome. You know, get ready for a decade. And I think, you know, I'm grateful to just survive the last decade. I didn't realize there was a new decade upon me, but there it is. And we're about to enter into a new decade instead of the 2010s, the 2020s. And so it's a good opportunity for us as we close out a decade and enter into a new decade to think about our spiritual legacy. And the fact is, if you're going to set any goals for the new year, any goals for the new decade, you don't need to begin at the end of December. You really should start earlier than that. You should start now. And next week, of course, is a great week to think about what we're grateful for. Thanksgiving, what we're thankful for. And I hope that we will spend time doing that. But even as we think about what we're thankful for, you know, what can we in the new year and in the new decade do to glorify God more with our lives.
Amen.
And this is honestly something I think about a lot these days. And so I'm grateful for the opportunity to share with you some of the things that I'm learning in my own life about spiritual legacy, about making decisions that are important, not just for the here and now, but for the hereafter and for eternity. And that's what spiritual legacy is all about. Not just living life in the moment, but living life understanding that the moment makes a difference for eternity. Are we thinking that way as disciples of Jesus? And so I invite you to Mark chapter 12, and I'll begin here in verse 41. This will sound very different than whatever Bible you're reading right now. Try to follow along. As he was sitting opposite the place of offering, he saw how the crowds cast in money into the place of offering, or the temple treasury, and how the rich cast in very much. But coming to that place, and I love the phrase here, it's just a short little phrase that Mark uses here. It says, and coming to that place, one poor widow. Out of the crowd, Jesus noticed specifically one poor widow who cast in two lepta. That's a copper coin. You might have heard of it as a mite, the widow's mite. She cast in two copper coins, less than a penny. And we'll stop there for right now. We'll finish the rest in just a moment. This idea of Jesus noticing one poor widow, that's because Jesus often noticed those who were marginalized, those who were forgotten, those who were poor, those who were on the outside of society, like women in those days, and especially widows in that day. There was no social security system. There was no system of setting aside money to take care of people. And so widows just had to get by on whatever they could get by on. And Jesus noticed people like that. And so out of this crowd of people, with all of the rich that were casting in all kinds of different coins, Jesus noticed this widow with her two copper coins. And you know, sometimes this passage is used to talk about contribution, but honestly, I don't think that's the point of the passage at all. I don't think this passage is a good passage to use about contribution. She is contributing, so I guess that there has some application there. But when you get down to the very last phrase, and I'll save that for just a moment from now, that Jesus uses in the passage, that's really much more of what the passage is all about. Jesus talks about this woman and the spiritual legacy that she left behind that continues to live 2,000 years from the time of her life. And I think today it's a good opportunity for us to think about our spiritual legacy. And the fact is, no matter how young you are, or no matter how old you are leaving a spiritual legacy right now. I spoke to a friend who lives in Virginia, and he was telling about his daughter who is in high school. And in high school, she is a disciple, and she does different things, but one of the things that she's known for in high school, she's been known as a person who will pray for anyone. And it came up because one day one of her teachers was talking about in class just some of the things that were going on in her life. And she raised her hand, she spoke up, and she said, I'll pray for you about that. And now students from all over the school come to her and say, will you pray for me about this? And I thought, what a tremendous spiritual legacy to have in high school.
Yeah.
That you're the go-to person for prayer.
Wow.
That's awesome. So whether you're young or whether you're old, my dad lived till he was 93 in Columbia, Tennessee. For the latter part of his life, he was in a nursing facility. And my dad loved people. And all the way up to the very end of his life, instead of just sitting in his room all alone, he would sit in the hallway Or during the summer, he would sit out on the front porch and he would just talk to anyone that came by. And people knew, well, there's Glenn Kennard. Let's have a conversation. And he would sit down and he would talk and he would listen and he would start conversations. But in a nursing home where, you know, people tend to be by themselves, my dad wasn't going to be that way. And he would talk to people about God. He would talk to people about the church. Into his 80s, he was studying the Bible with people, part of the Church of Christ in Tennessee. Into his 80s, I would call him and I would say, Dad, what are you doing today? Well, I got a Bible study with this person down the hall here. And I would be like, whoa, Dad, that's awesome. You know? But that's who my dad was. That's his legacy that he left there. And when he passed, he had so many people, not just friends from church, but he had people, he had nurses, he had attendants, he had receptionists from the nursing facility that came out for his funeral because he had touched their lives simply by being who he was. Spiritual legacy. What legacy are you leaving behind? I appreciate this poor widow because she left a legacy that continues to speak to all of us today. You know, at that day and time, Jesus talks about people throwing in a huge amount. You might wonder, well, how could he tell that there were huge amounts being tossed in? It's because the temple treasury itself was made in such a way that going down and leading down into the box was this brass cylinder. You might think of it if you think of the New Jersey toll booths, you know, in the old days especially. You used to have to toss the money into the toll booths and they would go rolling around in that plastic basket. I'm sure they're still there, but most of us have Easy Pass these days. But then the coins would just go rolling down into that basket. It was the same thing, only it was brass. So think of a large brass basket, you know, the bell of a French horn or something like that. And so every coin that went in there, and almost all the coins were metal, you could hear just by the tone what was being tossed in and how much was being tossed in. So the rich were like tossing in. It was jingle, jangle, cling and clang. And, you know, as they hit the sides of this all the way down. And then you have this poor widow. And Jesus notices that she has two copper coins. Maybe because he saw them, but he could have also just been by the sound of them. And I brought a couple here. I have two widow's mites with me today. You can get them still. They find them all the time. They just, after rain showers, they just come up out of the ground after rain showers, especially in the Palestinian territory and just outside of Jerusalem. On one side is an anchor, and on the other side is a wheel. And they're very small. They're tiny. They're not worth very much at all. That day and time, all total, both of them was worth less than a penny for us today. So you can imagine how that was not worth very much at all. But for this widow, it's all she had to live on. Both of these copper coins, that was her life right there. And so when she comes in, or comes up to the temple treasury, I can imagine her thinking, okay, what am I going to do now? I can give none. I can give one. That's half. It's half of everything she had to live on. That would be awesome. But instead, she tosses in both copper coins. And they wouldn't have sounded like the silver coins. They wouldn't have sounded like the drachma, which was a daily wage. They would have just simply been ping, ping, drop. Ping, ping, drop. Not very much at all. But for her, it was a lot. Because of everything that she had to live on. These two copper coins, and this was her legacy. So Jesus pays special attention to her. So let's continue on in the story now. Look in verse 43. And calling to him his disciples, he said to them, Amen, I say to you. Which really is a rabbinic formula. You probably can't tell that, but that's when rabbis made a pronouncement. They made a pronouncement by saying, Amen, I say this to you. Jesus often would say, Amen, Amen, to emphasize it even more. So he's making a rabbinic pronouncement to his disciples. Basically, that's like in school, you know, it's when you tap and you say, Hey, listen to this. This will be on the exam, okay? Pay attention to this. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's basically hitting the podium, hitting the desk, and he's saying, hey, I've got something to say, and it's important. And he wants to tell them about what he just noticed at the temple treasury. Amen, I say to you that this woman, this poor woman, cast in more than all the others, because she cast into the temple treasury all that she had. And then it says, for all of them cast out of their wealth. They cast out of their wealth. But this one, this woman, she gave out of her poverty all that she had. And then there's this beautiful last phrase, which I don't know how your Bible translates it, but literally it just says, the whole of her life. The whole of her life. That's what she cast in. The sense is that after she threw that in, she was totally dependent on God. Because she didn't know where her next meal was going to come from. She didn't know where her next place to live was going to come from. She didn't know what was going to happen to her next. She gave the whole of her life. And that is surrender. Dependency on God. And that's your spiritual legacy. She gave everything. She had the choice to give nothing, to give half, or to give it all. She gave her all. And the question comes for us today, what will our spiritual legacy be like? As individuals, we have a spiritual legacy. And also as a community, as a congregation of people, we have a spiritual legacy. You think about the seven churches of Asia Minor in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation. All of them had a spiritual legacy. To the angel of the church in wherever, right. They had a spiritual legacy. What is our spiritual legacy today? So we need to think about this as individuals. We need to think about this as a community. We need to think about where we are and where we want to go with our spiritual legacy. And this poor widow gives us a great example of having a spiritual legacy that's going to encourage other people. What is our spiritual legacy? I think about this a lot these days. Back at the end of July, I had a mild stroke. And it occurred during my sleep. I woke up the next morning and I was slurring my words a bit. It wasn't terrible. I could recognize what I was saying. Lee said, wow, it sounds like your speech is slurred a little. And I said, no, I think I'm just dehydrated. I think I'm just tired. And so we kind of went on with our day. I noticed as I was doing my morning Bible study, I was taking some notes, and I noticed that when I tried to dot the I, I couldn't get the dot in the right place. And when I always go a letter or two to the right or left. When I tried to cross the T's, I would miss crossing my T's. And so, you know, I felt some weakness in my right side, and I felt like, well, this is weird. How can I not? Yeah, I kept trying. You know how it is. I'm going to get it this time. Oh, missed again. You know? And I thought, well, you know, it'll fix itself. It'll sort itself out as the day goes on. So we went on with our day. That day we were going to see a house. And so we went out and we saw this house. And I drove. Yes, I drove to the appointment. We got there and we were looking around the house. And there were like four sets of stairs that I went up and down. The crazy thing was, as we were in the house, the fire alarm went off. And so I took it upon myself to climb up a ladder to try to fix the fire alarm. So there I am, I had a stroke that morning and I was on the top of a ladder trying to fix a fire alarm. I couldn't fix it, and so I went down into the basement. There were no lights in the basement. So I used the flashlight on my phone to go down into the basement to find the breaker, and I found it and I switched the breaker off. And then I drove home. And as we were about to pull into our apartment complex, I told Lee, I said, Lee, I'm not feeling any better. My speech is off. I can tell that my right side is a bit off. And she said, we need to call Marcus. We need to call Dr. Williams. I said, okay, that's great. Can we eat lunch first? Because I knew what Marcus was going to say. And so I said, can we eat lunch first? And it just so happened that from the day before, I had this beautiful half of a bacon cheeseburger left over, you know? And I thought, this might be the last bacon cheeseburger Marcus ever lets me eat, you know? And so I'm going to enjoy this bacon cheeseburger. And I did. It's awesome. And it was the last one I've eaten so far. But then we called Marcus, and as I thought, he said, you need to go straight to the emergency room. He said, I'm going to call ahead, Valley Hospital. I'll call ahead. They'll be waiting on you. Get there. And then he added, and don't drive. I don't know if he added that or Lee added that, but I didn't drive to the hospital, okay? Lee drove to the hospital. But when he got there, it was so hectic. I walked up to the receptionist, and she said, who are you? I said, my name is Steve. I'm Steve Kennard. And she said, what are you here for? I said, well, I have a bit of slurred speech and weakness on my right side. She looked at the nurse next to her, and both of them at the same time said, wheelchair! And they quickly plopped me down in a wheelchair. They didn't take any information. They just popped me down in a wheelchair and rolled me in the back, and I had doctors and nurses flying around me for the next 30 minutes or so. Wanting to know when this happened, what are the things that you're feeling right now, that kind of stuff. Well, the long and short of it is that later that day they did an MRI, and I had a stroke at the base of my brain. And when you have a stroke like that, it destroys those vessels. And so, but there's a beautiful thing called neuroplasticity, which means that the brain can often work around what has been destroyed and fix, sort of work around it and fix it so that you still are able to function. Doesn't always happen, but I was really blessed.
Amen.
I was really blessed because by the very next morning, my speech was already coming back. And the very next day, the weakness in my right side was going away.
Amen.
And so I have no lingering impact from that stroke that I had in July. But I will say this, I live with a new normal in my life.
Amen.
There's a new normal. And the new normal, it contains a number of different things. I'm on medication, daily medication, that I've never taken anything every day in my life before. But I have daily meds. I have to exercise, I have to watch my diet, no more bacon cheeseburgers, I know, and yeah, I could go down the list, Cracker Barrel, Krispy Kremes, I know, feel real sad, real sad, but, and also, I have to watch out for stress, you know, I have to watch and choose wisely what I'm going to do. And that's the biggest thing that, for me, came out of this. It was scary, it was sobering, but the one thing that I walk away from all this with is, Steve, choose wisely.
Amen.
So when I choose things today, I ask myself, okay, how is this going to help spiritually? How is this going to help with spiritual legacy? How is this going to help the kingdom of God?
Amen.
How is this going to help other people? Is this good for me? Is it good for my marriage? Is it good for my wife? Is it good for my family? Let me choose wisely. And honestly, I should have been doing that all along. But that's what I walk away from all of this thinking. And I appreciate this widow because that's what she did. She stood there in front of the temple treasury and she had a choice of what she was going to do, and she made the choice, I'm going to give my all, everything that I have, and I'm going to trust in God right here. I have this little thing underneath my skin. It's a monitor. It's a heart monitor. It's right here. Yeah, I can feel it. It's underneath my skin, right above my heart, and it takes my EKG and sends it every night through a machine and to a doctor's office, and every morning they read it just to make sure that there's no irregularity there. But I can feel it. I feel it when I bend my arm back like this. It stretches the skin a little bit. I always know it's there. It's just, it's just like a little bump underneath my skin. That reminds me of the new normal in my life. It reminds me, Steve, choose wisely. Make good choices. Make spiritual choices in your life. And so when I want to grab that bacon cheeseburger, I get reminded of this little bump right here, and I think, no, not a wise choice for me. For you, you know, if you're 20 years old, eat all the bit. No. Never be smart yourselves, okay? But for me, not a wise choice. And so I have that there to remind me, make wise choices. But I think for all of us, you don't need something underneath your skin and above your heart to remind you of that. You've got the Word of God. You've got the Bible. You've got the spiritual legacy of people like this poor widow to remind you, make good choices in your life. And I can imagine this poor widow standing before the temple box with these two coins, one in each hand, and just thinking, you know, I could be really, really generous now by giving 50% of everything I have. But I'm going to go even beyond that, and I'm going to give my life. Amen. And that's what Jesus says about her. She gave her life. And that's really what Jesus asked all of us to do. What is your spiritual legacy? I don't know what it's going to be specifically for you, but I know how it begins for all of us. It begins for all of us with the same decision that this poor widow made, that we're going to give our all. We're going to give our life, and we're going to dedicate everything that we do to God, to Jesus, and to being spiritual people that help other people because of the choices that we make and the way that we live. Then, veering off from that, there's a lot of different directions we can go. My spiritual legacy, like Tom, I'm a teacher. I love to teach. I love to teach the Bible. I love to teach theology. It just, it makes me happy. It makes me really, really happy. And so I teach. I teach, and I love when I'm teaching students and they learn, and then it's like the light bulb comes on in their mind and they start seeing things like they haven't seen them before, and they start understanding things about Jesus or about spiritual formation. And for me, that aha moment, it just feels so good to help someone get there. For me, that's part of my legacy. But what about for you? There's a lot of different things you can choose. You can decide, you know what, I'm going to make sure that I'm the dad that I need to be, I'm the husband that I need to be, and that's going to be my spiritual legacy. To be a great husband, to be a great dad, that's a great spiritual legacy. To be a great wife, to be a great mom, that's a great spiritual legacy. I'm going to decide that I'm going to help the poor, and I'm going to really have a benevolent heart, and I'm going to be generous, and I'm going to try to help other people think about helping the poor more. That's a great spiritual legacy. There are some people that I know that they just, wherever they go, they're constantly sharing with people. And that's just who they are. They're talking to people. They're starting conversations. They help those conversations get around to Jesus. And they teach people. They teach people about Jesus and God. And that's just who they are. That's their spiritual legacy. What is it going to be for you? That's what you need to decide. The thing that I want to just close out with a few practical points to help you with spiritual legacy. One of the things I want to let us all be aware of is just to remember Jesus is watching. Just like he saw this poor widow and saw her make this offering of her life, he's looking at all of us. And we need to acknowledge that in our lives. One way to build your spiritual legacy is practice the presence of Jesus in your life. Amen. Just to practice that I know that Jesus is with me, and so I'm going to live for him every moment of every day. That's hard. It's not easy. But it's a good thing to think about. Brother Lawrence, in 1611, he lived from 1611 to 1691, so let's say around 1670, he wrote a book called The Practice of the Presence of God. Lawrence was in a monastery, and he didn't have a great job. In fact, he was the guy that cleaned up the kitchen and peeled the potatoes in the kitchen. And so he didn't have a lofty job in that monastery, but he made a decision. He made a decision that every time he peeled a potato, he would peel it thinking about Jesus. And he would practice the presence of Jesus in his life. And because of that, he wrote this incredible Christian classic called The Practice of the Presence of God. He says this, "There is not in the world a kind of life more sweet and delightful than that of a continual conversation with God. Those only can comprehend it who practice and experience it." So practice having a continual conversation with God. There's also a man named Frank Lombong who wrote a short little book. Both of these books are pretty short, but a short little book called Letters from a Modern Mystic. And this was in the 1930s. And Lombong made the decision that he was going to work on his life and think about Jesus until he thought about Jesus every moment of every day. The way that he started was he started by saying at the top of the hour, "I'm going to stop whatever I'm doing and I'm going to think about Jesus." And he would practice that. And you know, you can, that is doable. Some of us have watches where every hour it tells us to stand up. Stand up, you know, get on your feet. What if every time that happened, you stood up and you thought about Jesus? But then you go from every hour to every hour and every half hour. And then you go from every hour to every hour, quarter hour, half hour, quarter hour, hour. And you just work until Jesus is in your mind with whatever you do.
Amen.
And so every time you're adjusting and you're changing things at work, or you're out and you're changing things in your schedule, the next thing that you do before you start anything else, the first thing that you do is you think about Jesus.
Amen.
And you keep Jesus present in your mind. And that helps you grow in your spiritual legacy. And three practical points to end with. Number one, if you want to grow in your spiritual legacy, number one, practice the presence of Jesus in your life. Number two, follow Jesus all the way. There's no half-hearted way to follow Jesus. Jesus doesn't accept that. You can't follow Jesus part of the way and think that's the whole way. He does require from all of us the whole of our life. So that's number two. Decide to Jesus, follow Jesus all the way. Another Christian mystic. I'm throwing a lot of mystics at you this morning. I love studying mysticism. Anyway, Meister Eckhart said, "There are plenty who follow our Lord halfway, but not the other half. They will give up possessions, friends, and honors, but it touches them too closely to disown themselves." There are a lot of people that follow Jesus halfway. But to get to the point where you really disown yourself and you surrender totally to Jesus, that's a high calling. But it's what Jesus calls us to do. And that helps to develop a spiritual legacy. And number one, I'm going to quote from one more mystic. The great tennis player, Arthur Ashe. Arthur Ashe was not only a tennis player, he was also an advocate of social justice. And I appreciate the life that he lived and some of the things that he said. And one of the things that Arthur Ashe said that I really, really like, he said, and you can find this on a plaque at the U.S. Open, he said, "Start where you are, use what you have, do what you can." That's good advice for life. But it's also good advice for a spiritual legacy. If you want to develop a spiritual legacy, start where you are. Because after all, that's the only place you can start. Is right where you are right now. So start where you are. Use what you have. Don't wait for other things to come along and things to happen. Just look around. What do I have right now? Use what you have. And then do what you can. And if you'll do that, you'll be building a spiritual legacy for your life. It's really, really good advice. The thing is I look out among us today and I see this great community of people right here. God has gifted us with so many different gifts. The gifts that you have for God are unique to you. So I encourage you, discover those unique gifts that God has gifted to you. That's where you need to start. That's what you have.
Yes.
And then do what you can with those unique gifts.
Amen.
That's what God is asking us to do. That's what God wants us to do. And if we will all do that to the glory of God, we'll not only be building our own spiritual legacy, but we'll be building a legacy for the community of disciples here in North Jersey. And that will glorify God, because all of us as individuals are glorifying God with our life. I encourage you this week, think about this poor widow. Think about what she gave. And then think about her spiritual legacy. And then ask, what am I going to do this week to build my spiritual legacy? Thank you.